We will open our study as we continue in the parables. We will look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Continuing Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Finally, in Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." So far.
We continue with the parables. And you will have noticed that we went to chapter 19 yesterday, and now we've gone back to chapter 18. In chapter 18, the parable that is before us, it is introduced by a question from Peter. And having asked the question, the Lord told him, until 70 times 7, not 7 times, 70 times 7. 7 speaks of perfection, completeness. 7 times 7, 49. A double witness of completeness. And then by 10, which speaks of our responsibility, my responsibility is to completely forgive my brother. Completely forgive my brother. And my father-in-law used to say, if a person sits down and waits, now is the 489th time. I got one more for you. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. Full and complete forgiveness. He says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, a certain king that would take account of his servants. Remember, let us remember that when we speak of the kingdom of heaven, the Lord, the King is in heaven. We are here on the earth to live out his orders. And this particular parable, as with the one from chapter 19, deals with our relationships one with another. In my relationship with my brother, full and complete forgiveness. That's my responsibility. The Lord illustrates how it works. Unlimited forgiveness, the conduct of those who are in the kingdom. And he says, if you do not forgive from your heart, not from your lips, from your heart. So the Father sees the heart. And he sees whether there is full forgiveness. He says, otherwise you're going to be tormented. This is not torment as in the lake of fire. This is, and it was illustrated for me while I was teaching. This man was retiring, and you know, at the retirement, they have a big function, and he was to give a speech. And he got up to give a speech, and then he collapsed. He couldn't do it. So when he was speaking with some of us in a little huddle, he said, when I saw her there, I couldn't say anything. The bile had grown up in his heart. He could not forgive that person. And it was a lesson for me. That if I do not forgive my brother, I'm going to be tormented. In my heart, I'm going to be tormented. In the next parable that we have in the study 4, this is not said to be a similitude of the kingdom of heaven. It's the Lord explaining, as he did in the parable of the sower, he's explaining how things are in the case of the children of Israel. They were given, theirs was a history of privilege, a vine, and Isaiah 5 speaks of that vine. And they had an opportunity to return to the owner of the vineyard the fruits. And they refused. That's the history of every man. God has given man privileges in this earth. And he has refused to return to the Lord in respect of those privileges that he was given. And later, the patience of God runs out for these husbandmen. And they knew what was due to those who did not return the fruits. He will miserably destroy them. Well, that is what he's going to do. But for our study this morning, it's the unforgiving heart. For the one later, it's the covetous heart. The unforgiving heart is going to be tormented. May God help us as he opens this to us to learn the practical truth that is needed. We must forgive our brothers.
I'll just give the reason why we switched the order We went first to chapter 20 and then back to chapter 18. When we met to discuss the subject, Munir has a suggestion of what the effect of the world on the believers now. So we took that in the first parable, the cares of this world and this deceitfulness of riches. And he introduced that subject. Well, I hardly had the subject of forgiveness, and we thought he would give the introduction of this morning, so we switched the order of the parable to have him speak about his exercise. Now, we would try to remember always that we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about the church. It was mentioned repeatedly that the kingdom is distinct from the church. The church is in the kingdom, but the kingdom of heaven is all the professors that profess the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not much to do with salvation. You enter into the kingdom of heaven by confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. You enter into the church by faith in Christ Jesus. By baptism, you become in the kingdom. But baptism doesn't get you into the church. So we have to bear this in mind. So when the Lord is speaking about the parable, and he very clearly said in verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven is like. And just to remind ourselves that the term kingdom of heaven is only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. Because as Munir mentioned in the very beginning, the term kingdom of heaven was known to the Jews. It is mentioned, not exactly, but he read the verse in Daniel that heaven rules in the kingdom of man. And the Gospel was written to the Jews. It's a Jewish gospel. So therefore, that term was known to them. Now, we go back to the advice of Mr. Campbell, how we study the parables. So the setting, Brother Hadley mentioned, is triggered by a question from Peter. And that question actually comes after what the Lord told them, that in verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now again, this is not church truth. It is not that we forgive sins judicially as a church, not at all. But whatsoever you bind on earth, the church can bind a sin on a person in the meeting on earth, not in heaven. Church do not forgive sins judicially. It is only God and the Lord who does that. So that again is to remind us of what he also mentioned, the caution, that you don't take part of the parable and run away with it and say, this is what the Lord is trying to say. If you take the first part, that servant was forgiven. At the end of the parable, he was not forgiven. So if you apply this to the eternal security of the believer, you'll have a lot of problems. You have to take the whole parable and see what the Lord wants to convey. And as we heard, the main lesson the Lord wants to convey is forgiveness, to forgive one another. He's not teaching the eternal security and God's forgiveness judicially of the believer. Believer is forgiven eternally. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So when it comes to forgiveness of sins, judicially, the eternal forgiveness, we are forgiven, every believer, every child of God. When he says, dear children, it is every child of God, not children in comparison with fathers and young men. But every one that is born of God has eternal forgiveness. But here, the main teaching the Lord is trying to teach is that we forgive one to another. And therefore, we had these verses in Colossians. If any man has aught against another, as Christ has forgiven you, forgive one another. And it's a beautiful doctrine. You know, the one that doesn't forgive has a problem in himself. And he is hurting himself in the first place and hurting the other person who is not forgiven. And also, it hurts the total assembly. And the Lord would open the subject for us.
Someone said the worst prison on earth is the prison of unforgiving heart. As we heard, it doesn't affect only the others, but in the first place, it affects the person who is not or unforgiving. And we are learning in these parables the principles of the kingdom of heaven. We saw in yesterday the word of kingdom is preached or sold. And we saw the attitude or the motive of service or ministry in the second parable yesterday. And we here we have the spirit of the kingdom, the spirit of forgiveness. And how wonderful it is we can link this parable with what happened in this chapter, in the previous parts. And here Peter asked the Lord, how many times my brother sinned against me and I forgive? But this question was actually triggered by what the Lord mentioned in verse 15. The Lord says in verse 15 of chapter 18, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, if he hears, and so on. So the Lord is putting the situation where a brother sinned against his brother. But my question is, did the Lord mention anything in his words here, in verse 15 until 18, about forgiveness? If you look it up, the Lord didn't mention anything about forgiveness. The Lord spoke about a higher level of attitude and dealing with my brother. When he sins against me, it's not only about forgiving my brother, but the main or the right standard is restoring my brother and let him be restored mainly to the Lord and into fellowship with me. This is what the Lord have in mind, that we care about our other brothers and our sisters to restore them and to correct the fault, that they are in the right position with the Lord and with us. But Peter took a lower standard. And here he asked the question, and we can find in his question two mistakes. The first mistake, that he assumed that his brother will sin against him. But he didn't put the possibility that he will sin against his brother. He didn't say, what I should do, Lord, when I sin against my brother. But he said, when my brother sin against me, what I should do. And the first mistake is lifting up again our position. But the attitude that we should deal and we should have, and the spirit of the kingdom, is the spirit of humbleness. In the verses we read in Colossians, the Lord is encouraging us to have this spirit or to be clothed with these characteristics. And how beautiful it is, they are linked together. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness,
humility, meekness, long sufferings. These are the characteristics that should be in me when I deal with my brothers and sisters. If these characteristics are there, then it will be easy for me to forgive. In the beginning of chapter 18 of Matthew, the Lord taught them a lesson, how to enter into the kingdom. Let me read this. At that time, at the beginning of chapter 18, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" The spirit of pride. The Lord answered, "Called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children.'" And in our chapter, 7 times, this expression is repeated. Little ones, little children. What does it mean? To take the humble position. To be little. Not only in other people's eyes, but to be little in my eyes. To be like a child. Children, they deal easily with each other because they see in themselves little. But what is the problem? That we see ourselves big. And that's what causing hard to be forgiving one another. So the spirit of humility. And then the second mistake that he did, or he said in the question, that how many times? So he put a limit of forgiveness. And when we have the attitude of love one another, love has no limits, has no boundaries. Love of Christ that has no measure that he loved us with. So the Lord is teaching us here to forgive one another, but to be able to forgive, we have to have this attitude of humbleness, attitude of love one another, and to learn of the Lord Jesus. And how wonderful it is, we learn from our Lord as an example of forgiveness, but we have in the scriptures people in the Bible that they taught us forgiveness. I remember Moses. His brother and sister talked ill about him, wrong things, but he has a forgiving heart. And he asks the Lord to forgive them. This is how we're supposed to deal with one another when we are sinned against. Recently, I watched a video about a serial killer. He killed 48 women. So the video in the court, it's a real video. And in the court, they brought the families of those victims. We hear all bad things. He is an animal. He doesn't deserve to live. I wish him a very cruel, slow death. We hate you. These were the comments of the families of this victims to this man. But at the end, got a father of one of the victims. And he said this, "Mr. So-and-so, there are many who hate you in this court. I am not one of them. You made it difficult for me to follow the standards of what I believe in. In the Bible, it teaches us to forgive who sinned against me. Brother or Mr. So-and-so, you are forgiven." What a great difference between the attitude of the world of selfishness, of pride, of unforgetful heart, and the attitude of the forgiving and humble heart. Spurgeon said this statement: "If your brother thinks of you bad or ill, don't be offended or get angry. Why? because you are worse than he thinks of you. If your brother thinks bad of you, don't get offended or get angry. Why? Because if you think really of yourself, you are really worse than what he thought of you. If we take it this way, I think this will solve many problems that we have in our meetings. I'm always reminded with a situation when there are only two brothers in this world, because of selfishness, one killed the other. But may the Lord help us to show love and to show Christ and to show that we are his disciples.
And if you allow me, I will add one more. With the spirit of forgiveness, the spirit of humility, and then what does this bring to us? The spirit or the mind of Christ. We were reminded yesterday in Philippians, and I'm just thinking now as you speak of the two sisters in Philippians chapter 4, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. But when we think now of the spirit of the Lord and the mind of the Lord, yesterday, as we began our meeting in prayer, we were reminded in Matthew chapter 9 of the heart of the Lord. And there we read how he had compassion on the multitudes. Notice in our parable today, this morning, the heart of the Lord of the servants. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. This is the characteristic of the Lord and the heart of the Lord that is to be permeated, that is to be our example and the heart of which we are to follow as his servants, one towards another. When we think of the Lord having compassion on the multitude, and we think of the Lord having compassion here on his servant who owed him so much, 10,000 talents, begging for mercy. And what was the response? The heart of compassion, which is the heart of grace, was shown by the Lord to his servant. And I wonder sometimes if it is failing in the grace of our Lord. When we think of the Lord yesterday, he was rejected by his own whom he came to. What did he do? He began a new work. And that new work was for everyone, not only for the house of Israel, but we read that everyone who would take in the word. The grace of God went to everyone. His grace was, so to speak, magnified, if we could use that word to express how the Lord's grace would go out to all the people having compassion on them all. The servants who worked for their master, who were only working for the will and desire of the master, whatever they gave him to do and whatever time of the day that it was to simply do that work, they received of the grace of their Lord, while those who worked received their wage. The one who worked for the penny received their wage, but lacked in the grace of God. And it reminds us of Hebrews chapter 12. And I'd like to read this verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lacking of the grace of God. In the parable, we have the servant who owed his master, his Lord, many things, and he was forgiven. But what did he turn around and do? He went to his fellow servant who owed him much less, very little. A 100 pence. And he lays his hands on his throat. Pay me all. No spirit of forgiveness. Where was the spirit of grace? Lacking of the grace that was extended to him, and in responding of the same grace, then if he had, we would read in this parable how the grace of God had been magnified to his fellow servants. Are we those then who are magnifying, giving testimony in our relationship to each other, in our forgiveness one to another, in displaying of the grace of God that has reached to me, and then showing that forth to my fellow brethren? Or are we like this servant, lacking of the grace of God, lacking of that spirit of the Lord, that mind of Christ? And then, do many become defiled? Think of the servants. So when his fellow servants in verse 31 saw what was done, they were sorry. Many were brought in to the trouble. Many realized of the lack of the grace of God that had been expressed by the servant who had been forgiven, but was yet unwilling to forgive his other fellow servant. Lacking of the grace of God, many become defiled. And what does this do for the testimony of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we those who would magnify the grace of our Lord, the testimony of his name, to magnify his grace in our relationships one to another, that the world can look on, can others can look on and see, yes, these belong to Jesus Christ.
As servants in the royal kingdom, we should be characterized by the features of Christ. And in James 2, we are reminded of the royal law. James 2 and 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So we are part of the kingdom, as was mentioned, and we should also be governed by the royal law, and to be reminded of the grace of God, and to know that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is what gives us the energy to forgive. The love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not by your own energy. It is through that which God supplies. Also, another few principles concerning those who belong to the kingdom, even though we don't have it in our study, I'd just like to refer to it in Matthew chapter 5. These are principles that should govern those who are subjects of the kingdom. And in verse 37, of Matthew 5, it says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these evil, they're evil. So, we should be careful too with our communication. There should be no guile. Guile when we speak. Also, we should exercise humility. It's all there. If one should compel you to go a mile, you should go two. We should have that spirit of self-denial. We should not also retaliate. All those things are there. And look at verse 45. That ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, who maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Again, we're reminded of the grace of God, and we should be imitators of God. We should be as obedient children, being subjects of the kingdom. These are just a few other thoughts, even though it's not listed in our reading.
Why it seems like it's so easy for me sometimes when I talk the subject of forgiveness, that I thought of myself, I can forgive. But once somebody sin against me, I feel all of a sudden it is difficult. And if we look at the chapter we've just read in this parable, we see the reason. In verse 26, when the servant came to the master, he said, it says, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And here is the secret. When I think of myself, I can, this is the problem. He thought that if the master is giving him more time, he will be able to pay back. And in the beginning of the parable, it shows that in order for him to pay, both him, his wife, and all his children should be sold just to be able to pay his debt. But he didn't think of it this way. He thought, I can. It is just a matter of time. And that's why he was forgiven 10,000 and he couldn't forgive 100. Why? Because it's a situation for him. For him, it's different. I am able to. It's just a matter of time. But for that other person, he's not able to. So that's the secret. And if we remember a very famous parable in Luke 15, remember the story of that a certain man, the Lord called him, has two sons. And one of them came to his father and he said, give me my portion. And it says in chapter 15 that the father divide him or divide them. He divide them. So the father give a portion to the young one and to the older one. And we know the story how the young one went and wasted all that money. And he came to himself and he thought how filthy he is and how he cannot even find food. And how a servant in his father's house, he has plenty of food. And when he came back to his dad, he told him, I don't deserve. Or that's what he thought before he came. I don't deserve to be a servant. But we look at the older one. He didn't think of it this way at all. Because for him, he said to his dad at the end of the story, in chapter 15, verse 29, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years, I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat So, I is the problem. He thought of himself, I did my portion. I was so faithful to you, I followed my commandment, and now he's looking at his brother as somebody else, and this, he talks about him, this one. This one he did so and so and so. And even the young one, he sinned against his father. His father forgave him. Why? Because as we read now, the father is in the business of settling account. If we read the parable from the beginning, he is in the business of settling account. And if I am not following the same approach, I am doing a big mistake. Because my father is in the business of settling account, and I should be in the same business. And when I am in the same business, I should realize how much I am forgiving with lots. And then, when my brother sin against me, I will look at it in a different way. Amen.
I would like to say just one point in relation to the two servants, and in verse 31, the fellow servants. We mentioned the first one who was forgiven by his Lord, the second one who was not forgiven by his fellow servant. But then we had sort of a problem between these two servants. What is the response of the fellow servants? The fellow servants observed what was done. They were sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now here's a challenge for us. There's a bit of a bickering between two brothers. There's a problem going on between two brothers, and one has decided, I'm not forgiving you. What are the fellow servants who are observing what is going on, what are they to do? You know, it's very easy to become entrenched. I am for Paul and I am for Apollos. And we can have two factions at war with each other. Brethren, we know this. We have seen it. But these fellow servants were wise. They went and told their Lord all that was done. And brethren, this is what we need to do. When there's a problem in the fellowship, a problem in the meeting, get down on our knees. Because the Lord Jesus himself says, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. These went and told their Lord all. They didn't hide anything. And their Lord dealt with the situation. In the assembly, in the family, in the fellowship, difficulties, prayer without ceasing.
Brethren, I was thinking of a verse in Colossians 3. It's so important, I believe, at times like this. We've had before us so much on the forgiveness. But to forgive, our hearts must be right before God. And Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If we try to forgive in the natural sense, it's impossible. It's beyond us. But if we have a mind as our Lord's mind about forgiveness, all things are possible. So I was thinking in this verse, set your affection on things above. Where is our affection? Where is our heart about these things? The Lord has commanded us to love the brethren. We've had that before us. But if our affections are not with Christ, as in Philippians, we don't have a mind like our Lord's mind about these things, we won't have a heart to forgive. We won't be able to forgive. So if we have our minds set on Christ, we meditate on his word to get to know his mind, to know his will, that his will be done, then we can forgive. But our minds must be first on him. And we filled with Christ. Then when we have a difficulty that comes in, as the Brother Hadley mentioned, in an assembly matter, then we'll have our hearts right before God. And then we can truly forgive our brother. But we must look at ourselves first. We have in the Old Testament principles on how to handle discipline and difficulties. We must examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves to see what Christ has forgiven in us. And then when we see a problem, a challenge, we're able to, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to be able to forgive one that has, we feel, wronged us. But really, in the end, the one that they have wronged is Christ, not us. So often we look at ourselves, but it's really our Lord that's wronged. We too quickly point at ourselves. When we see it from the Lord's eyes, then we're able to forgive in fullness, not just in words. Because it's so easy to say, I forgive you. But do we forgive them? Really? Right from our bottom of our hearts? I feel we come short there sometimes. Just some thoughts that came to my heart. We've had so much brought before us in the last little while than forgiveness. Until we have come to this realization, I really feel it's almost impossible, if not impossible, to really, truly forgive another individual.
Just quickly, we can ask the question of Peter to ourselves. How much am I ready to pay to forgive my brother, my sister, or anyone else? The servant here wasn't able to accept the loss of 100 denarii. And I can ask the question to myself, how much I'm ready to let go? The answer is nothing, if I can get nothing out of it. I will pay nothing. And if I'm thinking about it, humiliating myself in your dreams, I'll never do that. That's what the flesh says. That's what the flesh says. But we can give thanks to God that we have the Spirit of God in us now, that whispers to us, that's the way. Walk ye in it. Forgiving is always costing something, but it's also freeing oneself from prison. Our God and Father is a forgiving God. We have spoken about that. I'm just repeating. And when we think of how much we have been forgiven, when we look at the cross, we are made ready to forgive others too. I'm looking at the cross and I understand how much I've been forgiven. Then I realize another thing. My God and Father make me His Son by adoption in Christ. And He's transforming me to the image of His Son. And His Son is the image of the invisible God. So God is working in me to make me be like Him, a real Son of God. And when I'm forgiving my brother, my sister, I'm doing like my Father is doing. I'm in the same business. It's a good thing to remember this. The other person which has wronged us cannot pay back what we feel as being wrong in us, you know. He cannot. He just cannot pay back. And the Lord is not asking us to ask for payment, but He's telling us, forgive. Give the loan. Give it back. So it's an encouragement to us to remember that our God wants us to do like Him. And it is always costing. Always costing. It's easy to say, but the price has to be paid. It's again denying oneself, taking our cross, and following Christ. And then we can answer to our responsibility. And I like to say that in those parables, it's always responsibility. There's no power in us, but we have the responsibility of having the good disposition and then ask God for help. And He gives it.
One minute. All of us who come here to the mic and speak, we've heard many times now what we should be, what we should do, how we should behave. In other words, we're responsible for what we know. And a lot of here that don't take part, that are listening, they will look at us now, I wonder, I know that brother. I wonder, why doesn't he show that in his life? Why don't I see that in him, in the assembly? So it really comes home to us. It is not simply what we know, but to demonstrate, as we've heard, the Spirit of Christ, I have to live presently in the enjoyment of the great forgiveness, as our brother pointed out. What he sees in us, like the Samaritan woman, when she had met up with the Lord, and she went back into the village, forgot her water pot, and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. When we come to that point to realize the Lord knows all things that ever I did, and as a result of this, I'm in the enjoyment, communion with this one, free to tell him, and he says, I forgive you all that debt. And then to enjoy the strength of that, and it strikes me that these first two passages in Matthew that we had, and now in Colossians, while it's kingdom truth, we say, but Colossians is written to the assembly. It is there where these things we have opportunity to demonstrate what the Lord is teaching us. But another thing, an encouragement for all of us, God is not finished with you and me yet. As long as we are here, he is working in each one of us to bring about that which is for his glory.
This session has been very, very humbling to each one of us. And we have listened to what the Spirit of God has had to say to us this morning. And now we have the responsibility to practice what we have heard. We have to bring it to an end because of